As I've said many times, it's just difficult times. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We keep being told 2 weeks or this side and the other, and it's really a scary time. I believe that we're making progress with the virus and as far as cures for it and different things like that, but it still is very dangerous at the rate that it is spreading. So be careful out there. Maintain your distance from one another, and then be a blessing to somebody, maybe through a message or something like that. Just send them something. Let them know you're thinking about them. We're going to be in Luke chapter number 2 this morning. We won't have anything going on up here at the church. Church is pretty much on lockdown. We have sanitized the church and cleaned it. And basically, we're just trying to keep everybody out at this point. When was the last time you heard something like that, trying to keep people out of the church? But anyhow, we're under a house arrest, but a shelter in place. And anyhow, they're asking us to stay in our homes and except for those things that are essential. And it's amazing what they consider essential, but that's another sermon and another story. But anyhow, we're doing the best we can to bring something to you, all right? In Luke chapter number 2, I'm going to start reading in verse number 41. The Bible says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance." Verse number 45, "And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye have sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." As I was looking at this passage of Scripture, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture to many of us. This is an excerpt, if you will, of the life of Christ as a young boy. Now, there's a lot of things that are said about what Jesus did as a young man or as a young boy that aren't biblical. But this is the only account that we have of his early life, his early years. And this is an account that is given to us here in Luke chapter number 2 that I think that we can draw some good truths out of if we will be so inclined to do and receive it. But here, I want you to notice with me that this was a time of year when the Feast of the Passover. If you're not familiar, or if you are familiar, you'll know that we're coming up on the time of the Passover. Not very long, next Sunday's Easter? Next Sunday is Easter, and we'll be celebrating Easter. Let me say this by way of just trying to encourage you, is we ought to celebrate Easter every day, not just one day. And we all ought to celebrate that our Christ is risen, that our Savior is alive and well. We ought to worship that. We ought to celebrate that every day of the year, not just on Easter. We're going to do the best we can on Easter, but we should all celebrate that every single day of the year. But one thing that I want to bring out today and just look at here in the passage of Scripture is that it is easy for us to lose track of Jesus. It's easy for us to lose track of Jesus. No matter how much we want to think that we have it all together, the fact of the matter is that if we're not careful, we can lose sight of Jesus. We can fall out of touch with Jesus. So I want to give you four things and we're going to be done. If you'll just stick with me just real quickly, I'm going to try to get over and get through this real quickly, but I want to give you four things that I found from the scripture here that I think that will help us. I want you to notice first off their devotion. We're talking about leaving Jesus behind. We're talking about losing sight of Jesus. We're talking about misplacing him, if you will. But I want you to notice first off the devotion of his parents, or their devotion. I want you to notice their routine. In verse number 41, the Bible says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." They were required by law to go to one of three feasts, and this was the feast that they would be attending every single year. They were faithful to come to this feast. This feast was the Passover. I want you to notice that they had a routine. In other words, there was something about their life that they made sure to have God in it. They had a routine. I want you to notice their routine. But I want you to notice their religion. They believe to an extent in the Passover enough that they attended it every year. They thought it big enough or important enough that it was a part of their life. And so in their devotion, we see their routine and that they went every single year, but we also seen their religion and that they practice things that were religious. In other words, what I'm trying to get to and what I'm trying to help you understand is just because you do routine things and just because you do things that are religious does not mean that you cannot lose sight of God. It doesn't mean just because you are going through your duty of reading your Bible or going through your duty of your prayer or going through your duty of something else, maybe giving to the church or whatever it is, some sort of ministry that you do in the church, just because you're going through the routine of doing something that is religious does not mean that you are exempt from losing sight of Jesus. I want you to think about this. The whole reason that they were in Jerusalem to begin with was because of the Passover. If you know anything about the Passover, then you will understand that the Passover was him. Everything about the Passover was about the one that they brought. But yet they were so focused on religious formalities that they missed out on the very Passover lamb that they carried with them. And the fact of the matter is that you and I can do the same thing. We can get so involved in religious things, doing our duty, getting on Facebook and listening to this song or doing this or doing this ministry or reading our little daily devotion or reading our little Bible that we miss out on what is truly important, and that is Christ. Here they were at a Passover feast. The whole feast was about him. The whole feast pictured him and what he would do for them. You go all the way back to Exodus chapter number 12. That lamb that was taken, that lamb was watched by that family for 4 days. That lamb was sacrificed in the evening. That blood was placed on the doorpost. And when the messenger of death came, the angel of death came, he passed over the houses where the blood had been applied. I want you to know that Jesus came and he died for you and I. And those that have his blood applied into their life, the angel of death will pass over you. And so the very thing that they were there for, they carried with them and they did not even realize it. The very reason that they were in Jerusalem to worship, the very reason that they were there was for the Passover lamb. And they had him with them. And yet they lost sight of him. I notice their devotion, their routine, their religion. I notice number two, their disregard, their slight as we look at it. I want you to notice their slight. The Bible says, and when they had fulfilled the days in verse number 43, and as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They were going about their daily routine. They had already done their religious duty and now they're heading back home and they do not even realize that God isn't with them. Now we know scripture and God will never leave you nor forsake you. We understand that, but I want to say this, though God may never leave us, we will leave him. There's many times in our life that we'll walk away from Him. There's many times in our life that we'll become distant from Him. And this is exactly what happened in their life. They just assumed that because they were doing their religious duty, that it did not, it would not affect their relationship. I'm going to say that again. They assumed that because they were doing their religious duty, that they did not have to maintain their relationship. In other words, they felt like just because they were doing their duty in religion, that God was just going to follow along with them. I need somebody, well, I got somebody helping me here. Y'all forgive me. Y'all hit the like button, all right? Y'all got to let me know something's going on. But I noticed that in their slight, they assumed that Jesus was following them. And the problem with most of us today is the same thing. We think that Jesus ought to be following us. Man, praise the Lord. I feel like I could preach. I wish I had a big audience in here. I'd run a lap, all right? But they assumed that just because they had done their religious duty, that Jesus would follow along with them. So we see their disregard, their slight. We see their supposing. The Bible says in verse number 44, but they supposing Him to have been in the company went a day's journey. Not only we see their slight, they figured that since they did their religious duty, that Jesus would just come along and follow along. But in their supposing, they just assumed that everything was all right. All we have to do is our religious duty, maybe once a year, and everything's going to be all right. But the fact of the matter is that's not Bible. I need you to understand, I need you to listen to me. Don't turn me off right here. But there's a lot of people that feel like if they go to church once a week that they've done their religious duty and they don't need no more. There's a lot of people that feel like if they go to church on Christmas, or if they go to church on Easter, or if they go to church on some other big event, that their life has been fulfilled, they've done their religious duty and everything's all right. But the fact of the matter is, just because you're doing your religious duty doesn't mean that Jesus is following along with you. Their relationship wasn't affected by their religious duty. We have to maintain a relationship with Jesus. They supposed that just because they went one time that everything was going to be all right. And that's how many of us are today. That's how many people are today. Not just Christians, but many lost people. They assume, they suppose that just because they do one good thing, or just because they do a good deed here or a good deed there, or they give to the church or they do something else, that everything's all right. But it's not all right. I had a man tell me years ago, and I'm not mentioning it too, but he I'm not mentioning his name, but anyhow, he told me years ago, he said, me and God's got an understanding. Man ain't never stepped foot in church. Far as I knew, he never stepped foot in church. Told me he didn't go to church. He wouldn't go to church, but him and God had an understanding. Let me tell you something. You ain't got an understanding with God. The only understanding that you and I have with God is this, that He sent His Son to die for you. He sent His Son to be your Passover lamb. And without the blood applied to your life, the lamb, the death angel, is not going to pass over. Judgment is sure in your life. You may not like that, but it's truth. The fact of the matter is that too many people supposing that they have a decent relationship with God, or supposing that Jesus is following along. I notice their disregard, their slight, their supposing, and then their seeking. The Bible says this. The Bible says that they, verse number 44, the second part of that verse, it says, and they sought Him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Can I say this? You'll not find God in everybody else. You'll not find God in everybody else. The fact of the matter is, you have to have a personal relationship with God. It ain't based off of mine. If you're listening to me right now, you might be family to me. You might be close to me. You might love me. We might be good friends. You might be a family member of mine. But I can't get you in. Right. It's not by my faith in Him. It's not by my trust in Him. And there's too many people that are seeking Jesus and everything and everybody else. The fact of the matter is, you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that they sought through their kinfolks, they sought through their acquaintances. Listen, does everybody hear me right now? We notice their devotion, we notice their disregard, but I want you to notice something else with me, their delay. Their delay. Can I say, when you and I lose sight of Jesus, it costs us something. It cost us something. It cost him, I noticed their embarrassment. Now, we're going to have to read between the lines right here, but I noticed their embarrassment. The Bible said, how many of y'all hit the like button if you ever done this? Because a bunch of you have, don't lie to me, left your kid at church. I'm talking about me and Michelle one time in South Carolina. I think it was in South Carolina. We were there at Victory Baptist Church, and man, we got to church. Me and Michelle was there for hours. We wasn't just there for church service and then rushed out and everything else. We didn't leave during the invitation to go potty and then duck out the door, nothing like that. We didn't leave early so we could go eat or nothing like that. And so we were there for a long periods of time. Anyhow, our children, they probably suffered more than anybody from it. And I don't remember who it was. Michelle, you got to help me. Was it Zachary or was it Dalton? I think it was Zachary, she said. Zachary laid out on the altar and fell asleep on the steps. Just laid out on the steps and fell asleep. We were visiting with people. We were talking and we were doing our thing and we were just going about. And hey, it was time to leave. We all went and got in the car and took off. And we got out. I don't know if we got out of the parking lot. I don't know where, how far we got before it. Somebody said, where's Zachary at? We left Zachary at Victory Baptist Church, laid up on the altar steps, sleeping. All right, that's how great a parents me and Michelle are. All right, so we probably don't need to give advice to anybody. But poor Zachary, bless his heart, we love him. But we left Zachary sleeping on the church, and he needed it. He needed the altar. He needed to be with Jesus. All right, but anyhow, what embarrassment it was. We had to call somebody up and say, "Hey, don't lock the church. Hey, if anybody's around, stay around till Zach." Or somebody might have called us and told us. I don't remember how it went down. But I'm going to tell you this. It was an embarrassing time to walk back in there when you forgot your child. And as I think about this, I think of the cost of losing sight of Jesus is an embarrassment. There's people that are good people that's been involved in church for a long time that are doing their religious duty that have lost sight of God. And it's embarrassing. Sometimes it's so embarrassing that they never recover from it and never return back to church. Sometimes it's so embarrassing to the extent that they've fallen that they never recover and have a correct relationship with God. The fact of the matter is we all fail. The fact of the matter is we all have that duh moment. Duh. But I'm thankful that God can be found. As we notice here, I want you to notice their delay. It cost them something. It cost them embarrassment. But I want you to notice this. It required more energy. They'd gone a day's journey. They'd lost sight of him. They'd gone a day's journey. Having left him, went a day's journey and lost sight of him. They had to turn around and make that day journey back to Jerusalem. And then the Bible tells us that they sought him 3 days. The Bible says in verse number 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days of seeking. So one day gone, one day back, and 3 days of looking in Jerusalem before they finally found him. Can I say this? They lost him. Where they lost him at was where they had to return to find him. Now what did they do for 3 days looking for Jesus? I imagine that they looked for Jesus in everything that wasn't Jesus. This is something that it costs a lot of energy because we're looking for peace and we're looking for love and we're looking for the things of God. We're looking for the attributes of God, but we're looking for them in the wrong places. I would venture to say that Jesus was never a time where he wasn't in that temple. He was there astounding the lawyers, the doctors. He was there giving the scripture the whole time, but they missed it because they were trying to find him somewhere else. And man, isn't that the day? Everybody's looking for Jesus in places that Jesus would never go. Everybody's looking for Jesus in places that he would never visit. The fact of the matter is that the bar church ain't going to get it done. The fact of the matter is that the rock concerts and everything, I don't care what your thoughts are, but if they're not honoring God, if they're not worshiping God, then that's not where he's going to be. Right. Their delay, it cost them something. It cost them a lot of energy, and there's people running around losing a lot of energy right now looking for God in places that he would never venture to. So we see it cost us something. It cost us something. It's a delay. If we lose sight of Jesus, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some things in your life. It's going to embarrass you. But it's going to cost you in that you're going to spend more energy trying to find peace that ain't there. But I want you to notice their determination. And I'm done. We notice their devotion. They went through the routine of religion, and yet they lost sight of him. Their disregard, they lost sight of him, supposing that he would just follow along with them and everything was going to be all right. Their delay, it cost them something. But lastly, their determination. I noticed in their return, they had to leave their comfort zone. See, back in these days, they didn't travel by car, they didn't travel by bus, they didn't travel by train or by plane. They traveled in large groups. They did this for their own safety. They did this for companionship, for help. Along the way, if anything was to go wrong, if anything was to happen, it was a comfortable place. To be in a group of people, a group setting, was comfortable. I think sometimes being in church is comfortable for people. They're not necessarily in on what's going on. They're not necessarily have the relationship that Mary and Joseph had with Jesus, being that he was their kinfolk, but they're comfortable in the crowd. They're comfortable in the crowd. But to find Jesus when we've lost sight of him, we're going to have to leave the crowd. We're going to have to get out of our comfort zone. We're going to have to leave our comfort zone. We're going to have to leave the company that we're in. Because the fact of the matter is, a right relationship with God is a personal relationship with God. And it's an intimate relationship with God. And it can't be replicated with others. There's too many of us that are on the coattails of somebody else's religion. And the fact is that if we're going to find God, if we're going to get God back in our life where he's supposed to be in our life, we're going to have to be willing to leave our comfort zone. We're going to have to be willing to leave the company that we're in. We're going to have to be willing to let go of the calendar that we hold so tight. See, what I mean by calendar is that every one of us has an agenda. Every one of us has a list of things that we're going to do and this side and the other. We have all these distractions in the world. But if we're going to find Jesus, we're going to have to leave all of that and go look for him. I'm going to say that again. If we're going to find Christ, we're going to have to leave all of that and go look for him. We're not going to find him in our daily routine. We're not going to find him on the golf course. We're not going to find him out on Sunday fun day. We're not going to find him out on the lake. We're not going to find him up in a tree stand. We're not going to find him out on a fishing boat. We're not going to find him out turkey hunting. Although I do believe that there's plenty to see in God's creation, and there's plenty of things that you and I can feel close to God in God's creation, but we're not going to find him there. We're going to have to put aside our agenda and seek solely after him. Now that may be done in the woods, that may be done at the house, that might be done in the bedroom, that might be done in the car, that might be done on the boat, I don't care, but you're going to have to set aside a time that you look for him. And the devil has tricked us into believing that we can multitask. As many of you right now probably got started on this. There's probably people that got started watching this and then something distracted them. We say, oh, we'll just pause it, we'll get back to it later. But what it shows is that there's something else that's more important than what's going on right now. What it shows is that there's something. It's like being in a conversation with somebody. It's like you're sitting there and you're engaged in a conversation with somebody and the phone rings and they just cut you off and they answer the phone. What's that saying to everybody, and what's that saying to the person that you do that to, is that anything's more important than you. And the fact of the matter is, I don't even want an argument on this. Because I promise, I try my best that when somebody calls me, I try my best. You may get a screen call. But it may be because I'm talking to somebody else and I don't want to be so rude as to interrupt our time together and tell them that, hey, somebody else is a lot more important than you are. But that's what we do with God every day. Oh, we're going to do our devotion. We're going to get on Facebook Live. We're going to watch this. But as soon as something else comes up, something better comes along. This is why I told you earlier this week, put on your church clothes. Set aside this time. Put your phone on do not disturb. You can still watch Facebook Live with your phone on Do Not Disturb. All it does is cuts out all phone calls and text messages. You can sit there, cuts out all notifications. You can sit there and watch and get in tune with God for just a little bit of time. Let me challenge you to do that this week. And let me challenge all of us. This is difficult times. It's hard. I ain't gonna lie to you. This is hard. It ain't the first time I preached to an empty building. I've done it before during the hurricanes. You remember me and Brother Jake come up here and did a service. And I think some others come up here with us during the hurricane and did that. But I want you to know it ain't easy. It's hard. It's difficult. We're in difficult times. Be a blessing. Be a blessing by saying this is important. You ain't got to listen to me. If you don't want to listen to me, go listen to your favorite preacher. But listen to it. Get what you can out of it until we can gather back together in corporate worship. And as I've said already, man, I need you. I miss it. I miss all the life and the noise that goes on here at the church every Sunday and every Wednesday. I miss all the running like a chicken with its head cut off, trying to get everything ready and everything in place so that you can sit down and you can enjoy a service. I miss all those things, as aggravating as they are and as aggravating as they tend to be. I miss the fact that we can't do that right now. But I don't want you to lose sight of Jesus. I don't want any of us to lose sight just because we're going through a religious formality of turning on Facebook Live or this side or the other. I don't want us to lose sight of God. And if his parents could lose sight of him, how easy would it be for you and I? Let me encourage you this week. Make a decision. Make a commitment. That church time on Wednesday night, church time on Sunday, you and your family are going to sit in front of the TV, sit in front of a computer. You are going to get in your God and I time so that we don't come out of this thing in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, or whatever, having lost sight of Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And God, I sure am thankful, Lord, for our team of people that come up here, Lord, that sacrifice their time on a Sunday morning to prepare their hearts, to prepare our hearts for the message that you have for us. God, I pray, Lord, for our church family. Lord, I pray for our country right now. Lord, I pray for our president, our elected leaders. God, I pray that you give them wisdom and discernment. God, I pray that you'd give them knowledge. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the doctors, the nurses. Lord, the first responders, those on the front lines, our police officers. Lord, our family members, our friends, our acquaintances. God, our local business owners, our restaurant owners, our gas station. Lord, everybody that's impacted and affected by this. Lord, I pray that you be with our children, Lord, that are going to come up in a world that's going to be different after all of this. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church and as a body of believers, a body of Christ, Lord, to portray the attributes of Christ. Lord, to love others. Lord, to encourage others. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bring, Lord, a cure, Lord, to this land. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon us. And Lord, that your blessings would be upon our country once again. But God, I pray, Lord, for our churches. I pray for our pastors, Lord, that are preaching, Lord, to a phone, that are preaching to a camera. Lord, doing things that they've never had to do before. God, I pray that you would encourage them. God, I pray that their people would encourage them. God, I pray, Lord, that we'd make it our business to be an encourager and not a discourager. God, I pray that you'd bring us back just as quickly, as soon as possible. Lord, that we may gather together, Lord, in corporate worship. Lord, that we may lift our hands up. Lord, that we may praise you. Lord, together. Lord, I know we're doing it at home. I know we're doing it in our car. I know we're doing this in our personal lives. But Lord, I pray that you'd bring us back in a time and a place, Lord, that we can gather together corporately and worship you. Lord, thank you for this time of slowdown. This time, God, that you've given us, Lord, to get back closer to you. God, may we use the time wisely. And Lord, may we seek after you in all things. And God, we'll be sure to give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I do want to say this, if you will. Remember Miss Margaret Altman. She is in the hospital. Got word yesterday, we can't go visit her, but she is in the hospital. It's not with a coronavirus. It has something completely different than that. But if you will, keep her in your prayers as well.